I'd like to welcome everyone out to our service this evening, and we have some visitors with us, and we give you a special welcome to our harvest service. We also want to welcome back to Six Mile Cross our preacher this evening, the Reverend Stephen Nelson. Stephen is now the minister in Risharkin Free Presbyterian Church. Remember the children's meeting tomorrow, Monday night, at 7 p.m. and on Thursday at 8 p.m. the Bible study and prayer meeting with the Reverend Leckie. Next Lord's Day, the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7, and the preacher will be the Reverend Wesley Irwin, who is the minister in Rother Glen Free Presbyterian Church in Glasgow. And the church will be open tomorrow for those that want to remove decorations, etc., from the church.
Well, I want to thank our brother Jervis for his words of welcome. I'm glad to have the invitation to be here. It's good to be back. It's good to see you all again and to see so many familiar faces, many great memories here and many great memories with the young people, in particular here in Six Mile Cross. I look back and I have to say that the Lord blessed me, even with my involvement with the young people here. They were encouragement to me, and I can see the hand of God and growth in my own life, even from running about with the young people here in Six Mile Cross. So it's lovely to be back, and as I say, to see those faces. Some of the faces that were familiar, of course, to me, have passed on now, and they've been promoted to glory, and we're aware of that, and time goes on, and things change. The road from Cookstown certainly hasn't changed. It's every bit the same way it was whenever we lived here, and it hasn't got any shorter either, but it is good to be here, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather together here. This evening, we want to commence worship this evening by singing 523 in our hymn book. 523, work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours, work while the dew is sparkling, work mid springing flowers. 523, we'll stand and let's really sing out these words together. Let's bow together in prayer, come before the Lord and seek his face for his help and for his presence here this evening. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee this evening in the precious name of our Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for all of thy goodness and all of thy kindness to us. We recognize thy kindness in allowing each of us to be here this evening. We recognize our Heavenly Father, the grace in our lives. And we shudder to think, many of us here who are Christians, we shudder to think, Heavenly Father, where we would be this evening were it not for thy grace and love in our lives. And we recognize that we are unworthy in and of ourselves to come into thy presence. We recognize, Heavenly Father, that we have come short of the glory of God. We recognize that we, by nature, are rebels against thee. By nature, we are entirely opposed to thee and to thy law and to thy word. But we recognize afresh this evening thy grace that has been shown in our lives. We come before thee and we rejoice that it is our testimony, those of us who are believers, Heavenly Father, that we love thee because thou hast first loved us. And we thank thee for the love of God in our lives. We thank thee that many of us can point to that day and that hour when thou didst open up our hearts and we were born of the Spirit and we were washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there and then, in that moment where in faith and repentance we came to thee, Heavenly Father, we were justified in thy sight. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that that's not the end, but day by day we're sanctified. We're growing in grace. We thank thee that one day our salvation will be completed, as it were, and we will stand before thee in heaven for all eternity. We thank thee that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Whether that be the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, or whether it be us closing our eyes in death, there's coming a day when we who belong to thee will stand before the Savior and will see him face to face. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness. We thank thee this evening for the temporal blessings as well. We're aware that we come together tonight and we think about the harvest that has been gathered in. And we think about the Old Testament people there in Israel. And we think about there in their harvest seasons they were to mark and they were to give thanks unto thee for thy provision. And so, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to thee this evening as well. We take this opportunity on this weekend, Heavenly Father, to rejoice and to give thee thanks for all the good gifts that thou hast provided for us. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And we recognize, Heavenly Father, that in our nation there is food and plenty to spare. We recognize that we are not suffering with drought or famine as other places are. Heavenly Father, we recognize that another harvest has been gathered in. And we have been richly blessed in this place. We think about our provision in terms of money as well. We think about all of thy goodness to us. We think about the provisions even within our families. We thank thee for our families and for our homes and for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we come together to meet in a beautiful building this evening. We thank thee for the people of God in this place and for the separated witness there is here and the fact that we can join with other believers and have this sweet communion. Oh God, we have so much to thank thee for. Help us to be a thankful people. Heavenly Father, we're so quick to dwell on the difficult things and the challenges and the trials that we're called to face. And we can take all of thy blessings for granted. And Heavenly Father, we can feel to lift our hearts day and daily and rejoice in what thou hast given us and done for us. And so, O God, as we draw together this evening, we pray that we would be filled with that thankfulness in our hearts. That we would be filled with thy Spirit and that desire to seek thee with all of our hearts. We think about the promise there in Scripture that if we seek thee with all of our hearts, then we will find thee. We thank thee that thou hast promised that those that draw nigh unto thee, then thou wilt draw nigh unto them. And we pray then, Heavenly Father, that that would be our attitude this evening, that we would draw nigh to the Most High God, that we would seek the face of the Savior, that we would seek, O God, to be filled with thy Spirit tonight. And as we draw aside, O God, we come to thee seeking a fresh cleansing, The scripture tells us if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so we come, Heavenly Father, and we pray for clean hands and a pure heart. O God, cleanse us afresh as we come to worship. Help us to worship Thee, O God, in spirit and in truth. Fill this place with Thy presence tonight. Exalt the Lord Jesus in our midst tonight. May our hearts be stirred, O God in heaven, because our eyes have been fixed on the cross and what Christ has done for us afresh. And may we leave this place with our hearts aflame because of what Thou hast done for us, stirred up in our faith, anxious to serve Thee in whatever way we can. O God, hear our prayers. We think about the congregation here. We think about those who aren't able to be here. We're mindful of those, Heavenly Father, who are on in years, who are sick at this time, maybe going through difficult days. Oh God, draw near to them. And may they know the presence of the Savior with them in a very special way tonight. We think about this area and this community. We think about the services as they continue in this place. And we pray, oh God, that this congregation would know growth and strengthening, and that we would see numerical growth in this place, oh God. That we would see Thy people going forward and taking ground for the Lord Jesus Christ, that there would be that spiritual growth. O God in heaven, that Thy people would get to that higher ground, as it were, that they'd be filled with the Spirit of God, that individuals on the outside would look on and see there's something wonderful happening in that place. And as God's people come to meet every Lord's Day, God comes down and tarries with them and moves in their midst in a powerful way. Oh God, may this be the experience of the people of God in this place. We think about our nation, a nation that has turned away from Thee. And then we think about the promises of Scripture. Thy promises to us. If My people, which are called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and confess and turn. And then the promise that Thou hast given. Oh God, that Thou wilt hear our cry. That Thou wilt turn the tide. Heavenly Father, we come to the very God who made that promise all of those years ago. And we pray, turn the tide. Forgive this nation. Forgive us of our sins. Come in revival power. Build the church of Jesus Christ in this place. We think about the empty pulpit here. We come to Thee, O God, and we pray, supply the need. And in due course, in Thy timing, bring the right man to this pulpit. And may people and pastor go forth together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our denomination as a whole. We think of that rally last night. And Heavenly Father, we think about the onslaughts of the wicked one. And the attempts there are there to corrupt even the very youngest in our society. Oh, Almighty God, help us to stand firm. And may we know the strength of God in these difficult days. Tabernacle with us, O God in heaven. We think about Thy glory filling the tabernacle in the Old Testament scriptures. Oh God, may we taste just a little of that this evening, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to read in the scriptures this evening from Isaiah's prophecy and the chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And this is a portion of God's word that is filled with those familiar verses. And often we have verses that are familiar to us that maybe we could almost recite off by heart, but maybe couldn't necessarily put the reference there and say they're found in this portion of God's word. But in Isaiah 55, we have so many familiar verses here. It's not only a short chapter, and we want to read the chapter together this evening. Isaiah 55, and reading from the opening verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you unto singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. We end there at the close of the chapter, and we trust that the Lord will bless as we have read his word together this evening. I want to sing again. It's hymn 182 in our hymn book. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread beside the sea. We're going to remain seated initially as our tithes and offerings are gathered. So 182, remaining seated initially as the offering is lifted. Let's bow a moment or two of prayer. Again, as we come to the Lord's word this evening, let's ask the Lord for help and for wisdom and for understanding tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we do indeed have in our hands the word of God. We recognize that in the scripture, thy word is often compared with bread. It's there for our sustenance, for our spiritual growth. And as we come to thy word this evening, Heavenly Father, we cry to thee, O God, feed us upon thy word tonight. Give us something from thy word this evening that will satisfy us, something we can chew over, as it were, even in the week that lies ahead. O God, hear our cries. Come by thy Spirit now, O God. God, we need thee to speak to us. And again, we cry that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted in this place, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 55 are exactly, as I have mentioned, some of those verses in Scripture that are so well known to us. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. How fitting it is this evening, at this harvest season, that we contemplate and meditate on these two verses of Scripture. In verse 10, we read of the rain and of the snow. And we read of the water hydrating the earth, coming down upon the earth. And the result of that is, of course, the earth bringing forth fruit, supplies, sustenance for men, food for men, and also seed for the sower, to go out and to sow again for next year's harvest. This imagery is so apt at this time of year when we think about the harvest season. But of course, the analogy here is of the Word of God. It's a comparison between the Word of God and the rain that comes down. And how apt it is to think on these things at this time of year as well. You don't need me to tell you, if you left the copy of the vision and look at the back page, how many congregations in our own denomination at this time of year engaged in missions. And we understand exactly why, particularly in the early autumn season. Many of our congregations will engage in gospel campaigns. We're doing the very same thing in a couple of weeks in the congregation in Resharkin. And so how apt these two verses of Scripture are for the harvest season and for this season of the year when many of us are redoubling our efforts to reach out in the gospel, to reach the lost. Of course, there be many, even some who would profess to be Christians today, who will tell us that we are wasting our time in reaching out with the gospel message. Oh, don't be too militant in your presentation of the gospel. Don't be too forthright in your presentation of man's sin and his need of the Savior. You'll only aggravate people. You'll only get people's backs up. Doesn't do that any good to go along those lines. That'll not help our cause any. Softly, softly, don't be too forthright. Of course, we have to say that there are individuals out there and they seek to conduct their outreach surrounded by controversy. And that's what they like to do. Well, that's not wise. Of course it's not. But we've got to present the truth. We've got to be faithful. We've got to present the gospel as we find it simply in the Scripture. We go out with meekness and with love. We go forth clinging to verses like verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 55, knowing and having confidence that we have a God who is sovereign over all. Knowing that then, as we present the gospel to people dying in their sins, that we're not wasting our time, because our sovereign God has a people appointed for salvation, and he has commanded us to do this. And just as the rain falls from heaven and brings forth the harvest, so the word of God is sent forth from heaven, from God himself, and it will bring forth a harvest. And we are encouraged. And so for a few moments together this evening, we simply consider some encouragement in evangelism. For that's what we see here when we look at these two verses, verses 10 and 11 in Isaiah 55, encouragement in evangelism. I leave with you three very straightforward and simple statements. Firstly, God sends forth his word. God sends forth his word. Look at verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not whither, but watereth the earth. Now run on to verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God sends forth his word. The comparison is here. This is the comparison in these verses. You think about the rain. You think about the snow that falls from heaven, comes forth from above. And the comparison is here. So too, the word of God proceeds from above. It comes from heaven. It comes from the mouth of God. Who sends the rain? Who waters the earth? The moisture, the hydration that is necessary in order for our survival, in order for us to thrive. From whence does it come? You and I don't bring about the rain. We're powerless to bring about the rain. We often complain about the rain, particularly in the summer months. We're not happy with too much rain. Maybe perhaps the farmers are happy with a little rain. It's hard to tell. Depends where you are and who you're speaking to. But you understand. The rain is, of course, a blessing. It's a blessing. You think about that hymn, Jerusalem, that talks about England's green and pleasant land. Well, we know something of that here. In fact, I think it's a little greener over here. Whenever you go on your holidays and you come back and you've been somewhere warm and you take off and the ground's all scorched, and then you come in to Belfast or to Dublin and you look out the window and it's so green. It's so vibrant. Our land has much rain and we have the benefit of that here. You consider some of those lands in Europe over the summer months just past there in the drought that they were suffering, that the earth was scorched, the fires that were breaking out. And here we're blessed, our land is watered. Well, who waters the land? We can water the land to some extent ourselves. The farmer can irrigate his crops, but we can only go so far. Who waters the land? The Lord. The Lord sends the rain. The Lord sends the showers that fall. They come from our Creator. They come from our God who is sovereign, who holds all things in his hands. We see that very clearly in Scripture. If you turn back in Isaiah's prophecy to the chapter 5, you see this reality is presented before us in Isaiah and the chapter 5 and the verse 6. Isaiah 5 and the verse 6. The Lord says, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. And so there's the Lord preventing the showers, stopping the showers, stopping the rain. But the Lord also sends the rain. For example, in the Psalms, if you turn there in the Psalm 65, we see the very same thing. We see the hand of God in the hydration, if you like, of the earth. Psalm 65, the verses 9 and 10. Thou visit the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. And what do we see? We see God waters the earth. The water, the rain, the snow, it comes forth from God, from the one who is the Creator, from the one who is sovereign over all things. And so the Lord sends forth the rain. And the comparison is here in these verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 55. Just as the Lord sends forth the rain, so he has sent his word into this earth. He sends the rain upon the earth, so he sends his word into this earth. We've got to remember that. That's what we've got in our hands this evening. We have the word of God. He has sent it forth. He has given it to us tonight. He has given us his special revelation into our hands. Do we really value the word of God? Do we really see this? This reality that God has given us his word. We live in a day when so many apostate churches will pour criticism on the word of God and seek to tear it apart. during the summer months from England, we had the statement made that the Lord's Prayer is problematic. Friends, this is the Word of God. This is literally the Word of God. And what do we see in our society today? We see men and women tearing up the Word of God, dishonoring the Word of God, and stating that it's problematic. And just as the Lord sends forth the rain upon the earth, He has sent His Word into this earth, and we have it before us in our hands. You think of that on a very personal level, friend. God has seen to it that you have the Word of God in your hand tonight. He has seen to it that you personally have the Word of God in your hand. You think about many thousands, millions of people across the earth. They don't have that. But God has seen to it that you do. Are we really thankful for that? Or do we take it for granted every single day? Maybe you're here with us tonight and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. Well, here's the reality. God has seen to it that you have access to His Word. Now, unsaved friend, how will you respond to that? He has given you the opportunity, He has given you the immense privilege of having His Word, of knowing the way of salvation that is found in His Word. Now, how will you respond? How will you respond to that? We think here about the Lord sending forth His Word. A number of commentators will highlight that when we read this kind of statement in these verses, that our hearts should be brought to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And God sent forth the rain to water the earth, and so He has sent forth His Word into this earth. What is one of the names, what is one of the titles that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity? It's the Word. That's one of the titles that's applied to the Saviour in Scripture, the Word. In John chapter 1, Christ is referred to as the Word. In 1 John, we read of our triune God, described as God the Father, the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. And so, as God the Father sends forth the rain into the land, so He has sent forth His Word. And we're reminded that God the Father sent forth His only begotten Son into this earth. And He came into this earth, He came into this world that is parched, spiritually speaking, that is dried up, spiritually speaking, a world that is in the drought of sin. And Christ comes into this world promising the living water, and if we would drink of it, we will never thirst again. What a lovely thought that is. When we consider the Lord sending forth His Word, we can think of Christ, God the Father, sending forth God the Son into this earth. God sends forth His Word. That's the first thought we have as we look at these verses 10 and 11 this evening. But the second thought we have here is God sends forth His Word with purpose. God sends forth His Word with purpose. Look at verse 10 again of Isaiah 55. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now, according to verse 10, answer the question, why does the rain fall? Why does the snow fall? Why is it sent by the Lord? What's the purpose? Well, it's very clear in verse 10 that the Lord has a reason. There is a reason that the Lord sends forth the waters. There is a reason that God waters the earth. Remember, the moisture, the hydration is absolutely necessary for vegetation to survive, for animals to survive, for us to survive as well. We read here about the bringing forth of the bud, and we think about the vegetation there. And we think about the vegetation giving its increase, sprouting forth, germinating, bringing forth the produce that is necessary. And so we see that the Lord waters the earth for a very specific purpose. The water is sent forth to produce food for mankind, so that sustenance can be made for mankind, so that we can eat and survive. The water is sent forth to the earth by God himself also, so that seed is provided for the sower, so we can sow that seed and again next year have sustenance as well. You put this all together as we find it in these two verses. The Lord sends forth the rains, the waters, he waters the earth, he hydrates the world, and in so doing he provides for the survival of man. The rain that God sends means there's enough food both for us to eat in this year and to plant for the next year, to ensure a harvest for next year. The waters are sent forth by God with a purpose, with a reason in mind. And so God is very clear. He has a purpose in sending forth the rains. And so likewise, the Lord has a very clear purpose in sending forth his word. The Lord has a very clear purpose in sending forth his words. Verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." Oh, I have purpose in sending forth the waters to hydrate the earth and to bring forth the harvest, but I have purpose also in sending forth my word. We've indicated to some extent some of the purpose that God has in sending forth the word already this evening. And the Lord has given his word that we might know him. What we have here in the word of God is the revelation of God. He reveals himself to us in his word. He shows us himself. He reveals his glory to us. He reveals his holiness, his majesty, his power, his being to us. We see his attributes, his character. We see his ways and his doings and his word. We see all of this that we might know the Lord, that we might worship him, that we might adore him and magnify him in the way that we should. Oh, the Lord has a very clear purpose in sending forth his word into this world. The law is revealed in God's word. We see that we have broken the law of God, and we see that how? Because it's here in the word of God. We see our need of God in his word. We recognize through the word of God our sinful condition before him, how mankind came to be in that sinful condition. We recognize the damnation then that every single one of us deserve, and we learn it all how? Because it's in the word of God that he has sent forth into this earth. We see our need of salvation from the word of God. We see that there is a way to be saved. We see the only way to be saved. We see God's way of salvation. We see Christ, the only Savior of men, is presented to us where? In the Word of God. The gospel invitation is freely given to us where? In the Word of God. And so the Lord has a very clear purpose in sending the waters, the rain and the snow into the earth, that the seed might come forth and grow. And so the Lord has a very clear purpose in sending forth his word into the earth as well, that men and women might know him, that they might see their lost condition before him, and that they might come to him in his own appointed way, namely through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men. More than that, the word of God goes on to show us as Christians, those who have been saved, how to live a life that is pleasing to him. How to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, as it were. To learn more of the Lord each and every day. The Word of God even shows us something of the future for mankind. And I'm not just talking about heaven, but also to some extent the end of this world. It's all included for us in the Word of God. There's clearly purpose in sending forth the Word from heaven to man. There's purpose. And then you add into that the fact that God sends forth his Spirit to apply his word to our hearts so that it might impact us, so that we might learn, so that we might be taught and instructed from his word. God sends forth his word with purpose. We see that illustrated for us in John's Gospel. If you turn to John's Gospel, and towards the end of that account there in chapter 20, the last chapter but one, and you go to the closing verses of John chapter 20, You see here, the apostle kind of rounds up why he has recorded everything that's been included in this gospel. Of course, he's writing under inspiration. We know that. This is God's inspired word. But he summarizes why all of these things have been written. John 20 and the verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And there John lays it out for us. This gospel of John, it's inspired by God. And it has been recorded here that you might understand something of the Saviour and of his earthly ministry. Now John says, I haven't included everything the Saviour did in these pages. I couldn't do that. There's too much. But what has been included here has been included because I was inspired to include it. And it's there that ye might be saved. That you might see who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That you might see that this Jesus is the Messiah. That he is the one who is promised in the Old Testament scriptures. Right there after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. The one who was promised. The one who would crush the head of the serpent. This Jesus in this gospel is that Christ, that Messiah that was promised. He's the God-man. He's the only Savior of men. He's that spotless once for all sacrifice that God sent forth. The one who shed his blood for sinners on the cross. The one who went all the way to that cross on Calvary. And willingly went and gave his life a substitute for sinners. Rose from the grave on the third day. These things have been recorded that ye might understand that this Jesus is that Messiah that was promised. And that ye might believe in him. That ye might believe in him. That you as an individual might place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Leaning on him alone for salvation. That you might be saved. That's why this gospel of John has been recorded. There's purpose. And surely that statement that is made in John 20 and the verse 31 could be written across the whole of the Bible. What do we see repeatedly in the Bible from Genesis right through to Revelation? We see the presentation of the gospel over and over again. And couldn't we write over the entire canon of Scripture, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name? Couldn't we write that across the entire Scriptures? God sends forth his word with a purpose. To reveal himself to us. To show us who we are before him, that we need him. To show us our sin. To show us the Saviour. To show us the way of salvation. Sins forgiven, peace with God. What about 2 Timothy in the chapter 3? We have words there that we often point to whenever we think about the word of God. And words that are familiar again. Words that we learn perhaps when we're very young. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If we read from the verse 15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What do we learn here? What are we being told? What we're being told about the word of God and the purpose that the word of God has. It's there to show us the way of salvation, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the word of God shows us the way of salvation, and that's Christ. But the letter goes on, the verses go on, verses 16 and 17, we see that the word of God is also there to help us grow as believers, having come to Christ, having trusted in him. The word of God is there to help us to grow. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. That we might grow and develop in the Lord. And again, we're reminded then of the ministry of the Spirit of God who takes the word and applies it to us as Christians and helps us to grow and shows us the way to go and speaks to us through the Word. God sends forth His Word. And as the rain and the snow is sent forth, so God has sent His Word into this earth. God sends forth His Word with purpose. And as the rain comes down from heaven for the purpose of hydrating the land so the crops may grow, so the Lord has a purpose in sending forth His Word to reveal Himself, to show us Himself, to show us our lost condition, to show us our need of Christ, to show us the only Savior of men, to show us the way of salvation, and then to help us to grow as Christians. Final thought I leave with you this evening. God's sent Word will accomplish its purpose. God's sent Word will accomplish its purpose. Look at verse 11 of Isaiah 55 again. Turn back to Isaiah 55 and the verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's sent word will accomplish its purpose. And here is a truth that is a great comfort and a great blessing to believers. God's word will accomplish what He has purposed for it. Not what we have purposed for it, but what He has purposed for it. It shall not return unto Him void. It is accompanied by divine energy. It is the power of God unto salvation. It will accomplish what God has planned for it. And that will be different things in different instances, in different places. On some of those occasions, it will be the conversion of sinners. On other occasions, it might be the restoration of backsliders, or the comfort of Christians, or the rebuke of Christians, whatever the case would be. But whatever the Lord has planned for His word, when it comes forth, it will accomplish what the Lord has planned. It will be done. And what an immense encouragement that is for us as the children of God, as we seek to go out and carry out the Great Commission and we seek to spread the gospel to every creature, to evangelize. We take great comfort in this, that God's word will accomplish what He has for it to accomplish. As we stand in the open air, as we do children's missions, as we knock doors, as we go into gospel campaigns, we speak a word for the Lord in our family, in the workplace, whatever the case would be. His word will accomplish what He has planned for it. So often, child of God, we struggle when it comes to presenting the gospel message. We can struggle. Maybe in the home or in the workplace or with your neighbor, the opportunity arises to explain the gospel. You find yourself tripping over your words, frustrated with yourself. You're not articulating the gospel with the clarity that you would want to. Ministers are no different. We know all about that. We conduct the post-mortem of what we have said just like you do. We can be very severe on ourselves as Christians. What we need to do on those occasions when we're frustrated with our own lack of ability to articulate the gospel is simply remember that when God's word is shared, it will accomplish what God has purposed and planned for it. Yes, we do our best. Of course we do. But God's word will accomplish what He has purposed for it. Therefore, we take our eyes off our own lack of ability. We trust in a God who is sovereign, and we push on in evangelizing. A few weeks ago, and I'm drawing to a close, but I read this little account of an incident that took place in the land of Argentina many years ago. And it revolves around a soldier who had been serving in the army, and his time of service had come to an end, and he was returning home, back to the family farm, back to his mother. Quite a track lay ahead of him. She lived in a very, very rural place. And as he walked home, he came across a mission station. A missionary was there. He heard the singing. He went in to listen to the singing. The missionary got up, began to preach. And this soldier listened with great enthusiasm. after it was over, the missionary came to the soldier and began to speak with him, and then naturally asked the soldier, "Are you a Christian?" The soldier said, "Yes. Yes, I am." The missionary carried on with the conversation. Well, who shared the gospel message with you? How did you hear the good news of the gospel?" The soldier said, "My mother. My mother. She shared the gospel message with us, and she'd love to meet you because she's never heard a preacher before. She's never heard a preacher before. Never come across a missionary. Never met a minister. Never heard the word of God preached before. Remember, this is a rural place." So the missionary agreed to go back with the soldier to meet the mother. I'm sure he didn't know what to think. This lady thinks she's a Christian. She's never heard the word of God preached before. How am I going to handle this? What am I going to find when I get there? But he went a long, long journey, got to the rural farm, spoke to this lady, and she shared that a travelling salesman who sold books and newspapers had stopped in her home many, many years ago and left her with a Bible. She read the Bible, and she came to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith. She had no teacher but the Spirit of God. She had 14 children. The youngest was now 12 years of age, and she had the joy of leading every single one of those children to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Word of God. And the Word of God will accomplish that which God has purposed for it. And we can take great comfort in that. Just as the Lord sends forth the rain with a purpose to hydrate the earth, to feed men so that we can have seed time and harvest, so God sends forth his word with a purpose, that we might know him, that we might know our need of him, that we might know the way of salvation. And God's word will accomplish that purpose. Be encouraged, child of God. Be encouraged that the Lord is building his church. And be encouraged that the word of God is strong. It's that sure sword that's sharp and able to pierce. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. We're going to sing as we come to a close this evening. Hymn 735, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noondays?" Claire, there's a challenge. We know the power of the word of God. We know that the word of God will accomplish that which God has planned for it. Are we sowing the seed? There's the challenge. Let's stand to our feet, 735, and really sing out.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice and we give thanks once again for the harvest season. And we pray, O God, that having been reminded, Heavenly Father, that thy word will not return unto thee void. Help us, O God, to be men and women who are sowing the seed of the kingdom. Help us to share the word of God. Help us to be bold in speaking forth the wonderful message of the gospel. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst be with us now as we take our leave of this place. And Heavenly Father, may the blessing of the thrice holy God rest and remain upon us until our Saviour comes or calls us home. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.